You're listening to the Cornerstone Word of Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this teaching from Pastor Mark. For more information on our church, please visit cwol.org.
So we've been talking about your identity. Who are you? You're a soldier. Everybody say, I'm a soldier. You're an athlete. Did you always want to be a professional athlete? I don't know. Everybody in the room. But, you know, we admire our athletes. And then a farmer. So those are the three things. It's interesting that the Holy Ghost used Paul, the Apostle Paul, to tell us who we are. And it seems to me very strong that this year the Lord needs you to know who you are. He needs you to figure out who you are. And a lot of times people are always trying to, you know, figure out who they are. Have you ever heard of a midlife crisis? I know, looking through the crowd, we don't even have anyone close to midlife in here. We're all young and stuff. But you ever heard of a midlife crisis, you know? What happens in a midlife crisis? Someone loses or they want a new identity. Pastor Rhonda says, you know, when a man gets in his 40s or 50s, he'll trade in his wife for two 20s. I don't know what that means. It's like they've forgotten who they were. A lot of times what happens is you begin to concentrate on what you don't have or who you're not instead of who God made you. Because in the age that we live in, media, social media, everyone with all their opinions are even trying to squeeze the church into their mold. And if you don't know who you are and you don't know what God said about you, then you're going to believe the lies. You're going to believe the lies. You're going to believe lies such as marriages just don't last. You're going to believe lies like, well, you know, all kids get in trouble. You're going to believe lies of this and that. But when you know who you are, it doesn't matter what they say about you, you know. Because remember, they were always asking Jesus, he asked, who do men say that I am? And then they came to John the Baptist and they said, who are you? So this is an important thing. And so the Lord's been dealing with us. So we looked at being a soldier. Are y'all soldiers? Are you ready to fight? Did you know you're at war? Now the great thing about this war is we always win. I said, we always win. We always win. And yet the great thing is, I mean, if you were in a battle, wouldn't you want a good soldier next to you? Yes. Amen? How many of you know you don't want the guy that you went to basic training or girl that you went to basic training with that messed around and, you know, couldn't shoot their weapon? You know, if you're going to a real war, you want to make sure they're not beside you. You want someone who, like you, knows what they're doing. And so it's good to have people around you. You know, something about the shield of faith. If you really look at it, one of the things I liked when I read Rick Renner's book, Dressed to Kill, was he talked about how the shields of faith could be connected. How many of you know we need each other? You need me. I need you. We need each other. We need our brothers and sisters to the left and to the right of us because we're at war, but we win. Amen? And we win when we know our weapons. We win when we know how to use our weapons. Not just we win when we have our weapons, we win when we know how to use our weapons. The sword of the Spirit is not to just be at your side or be on your coffee table or be in your phone. The sword of the Spirit needs to be in your mouth. Amen? And that's how you win. And then last week we began to look at the athlete. And we began to look, really the athlete that the Apostle Paul by the Holy Ghost was talking about was either a boxer, a wrestler, or one who is a combination of both, or a marathon runner. Those are the important sports back in the day. And so God has always used things that we are familiar with to teach us spiritual things. And we found out that those athletes, that what they went after was the prize. They went after the crown. When he says hit the mark for the prize, that prize comes at the judgment seat of Christ, where you're either rewarded or not rewarded. You're a Christian. You're a believer. You were in the race. But run so that you can win. How many of you know, aren't you glad? I talked about this last week. Aren't you glad Jesus is not just Alpha? He's not just starter. He's not just first. And I tell this funny story, and I know you've all heard it 1,000 times, but I think you're getting it, and I want you to continue to get it. I can sign up for a marathon tomorrow in the natural. And I can get a number, and I can pay my fee, and I can get running shorts and a t-shirt and even the most expensive running shoes. But I guarantee you, based on my training, I ain't going very far. Don't laugh at me. You can't do it. Not many of you could do it either. You might be able to go 4 or 5 miles or 10, but you still can't finish. But in the race of our spiritual life, we have to determine we're going to finish. It's not an option just to start. Jesus is Alpha and Omega. He's beginning and end. He's first and last. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. Amen. And then we found out that, the devil has strategies to try to keep us from finishing. And so I want to begin to talk to you. Let's look at some scriptures that we'd already looked at, but let's look at them again. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And we're going to dig a little deeper into the athlete. We're going to see how the Word of God uses the athlete to give us further instruction. And I just want to look at some things here. So 1 Corinthians 9:24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all? So everyone starts. But one receives the prize. So run that you may obtain. So it wouldn't say you, he's not saying that you can't, everyone can obtain, but you have to run so that you can obtain the prize. And every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one who beats the air. I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So the first thing he shows us here in 1 Corinthians is that we, in order to win the prize, you have to be temperate or disciplined. Everybody say disciplined. Yeehaw. Disciplined. We'll just leave it there. Then he said, I got to keep my body under. Woo-hoo. We're preaching now. Then he said, I got to bring my body under subjection. I got to bring, yay. But let's think about an athlete for just a minute. We're going to really look deep into this. When you think of an athlete, we look at maybe you only watch the Super Bowl. Or maybe, the Final Four in college basketball. Or, the only time you ever watch track and field is like the rest of the world at the Olympics. Or whatever sport. So you see someone in a moment. You see someone, get a hold up a trophy. You see someone win the race. But you didn't see all the hours and everything that they did that was necessary for the prize. And a lot of times, we come to church, and you need to come to church, and I'm glad you're all here today. And we do Sunday morning, and hopefully, if you've done Bible Institute, and you do Wednesday nights, but really what's even more important of that is what you do on Monday, and what you do on Tuesday, and what you do Wednesday morning before you go to work. And what you do Thursday night when you come home. And Friday, you're not taking a day off from God. And Saturdays, besides all your fun stuff, you've left time for the Lord. And then we're back to Sundays. But see, it's not what you do when everybody can see you. It's what you do when everybody can't see you that really matters and tells you if you're going to finish. Amen? Amen. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So we see here, when he's talking about running a race again, he's talking about laying aside all your weights. He's talking about laying aside the sin. So a weight is not always a sin, but you wouldn't see anyone with 40 pounds on the left and 40 pounds on the right. Right, this is right. 40 pounds on the right, 40 pounds on the left to start a marathon. Now they might train that way, I don't know, but you're not going to run a race that way. In other words, he's saying you got to lighten the things from your life that hinder you, or you won't be able to finish. See, you can get started, but I don't know about you, but in my race with God, he didn't deal with me about everything in my life at the beginning. What's acceptable for me when I'm first born again, I guarantee you with the Lord is not acceptable for me today. And it's so funny to watch people try to run other people's races. You can usually tell what God is dealing with somebody about when they're trying to get all their friends to do the same thing in God that they're doing. In other words, if God is telling them not to watch so much TV, then it's a sin to everybody around them as well. You can tell what's going on. Now, I'm going to tell you something. A lot of times, hopefully maybe not as much as mine, you can tell what's going on in a preacher's life a lot of time by what they're preaching on. Not always. Hopefully not me. But you can, sometimes when I get under a fight, it comes out, especially when I'm doing before I preach, it'll come out because that's where I'm at. I'm fighting and I want you to fight with me and I want to fight for you. And then sometimes he'll just, when I'm not going through anything, but I can pick it up in the room when you're going through stuff, then I'll help you fight. Amen. But a lot of times, whatever. But it's a race. And even though you started the race with a certain thing, you're going to have to get rid of some stuff. And you definitely can't live in and practice sin and finish your race. Because the wages of sin is what? And what's death going to do? It's going to end your race. You can't live in sin and run your race, all right? And so when I was thinking about this, I was thinking about this athlete. And I do like to watch sports. I do like, I live in Alabama. I like to watch football. I like, a few others. I mostly like football. But, I like some sports. And so when you know a little bit about an athlete, I can be a very good armchair quarterback. I'm one of those guys like, man, he was wide open. Throw the ball. But have you ever had six guys that weigh 400 pounds trying to kill you? You see, if you can see somebody open down the field. Just because they replay it and showed somebody wide open, but that's what we do, right? We're all very good at running other people's races. But you got your own to run. Amen? We're very quick to criticize somebody else's race or what they should have done or how they should have done it, but we need to look to our own race because it's really something that's so vitally important. But how do you get there? I was thinking about an athlete, and I believe the Holy Ghost was helping me. What does a good athlete do? Because I told you, it's what you don't see on TV, what you don't see at the ball field, what you don't see at the track meet, that really has made the difference of why this person can finish and win the prize. What they've done when no one is watching. I think it was the Olympics, and we always have seem to have this girls' gymnastic teams that's always wonderful. And so you see interviews afterwards. What are you going to do? I'm going to get ice cream. What does that mean? I've had none for a long time. I'm going to go eat a hamburger. That's the kind of stuff they want to do. Why? It's because they changed their whole life so they could win. They changed their pattern of living so they can win. What they've done off the field consistently shows up in a moment, and that's what causes them to win. But you see, you and I, and that's why we often say this Christian race is not a sprint, it's a marathon. And so we're going to make it to the end. But you think about it. So what? Something an athlete does. Well, an athlete, their body requires sleep because they do so much damage, so much. They work it to its max that they have got to rest their body. They can't live on 3 and 4 hours of sleep. They need what their body. So when all the friends are going out to a movie and to a dinner and then hanging out, and it's 8 o'clock and they're in bed. They're in bed. And their friends are like, what's up? But their friends are all going to cheer for them when they get a gold medal around their neck. And it doesn't matter a person's talent or ability, if you won't do what's necessary off the field, you'll never get to the prize. And that's kind of the things the Lord was dealing with me about. So sleep. You know, an athlete needs a lot of sleep. But spiritually, what does that equate to? It means you've got to rest in the Lord. You have got to get to a place, I have got to get to a place where I'm at rest. And this is something, you know, I've been working on for about, what is this month? Are we in June? During about 7 months, laboring to enter into rest. Because I know, and you know, when you're not at rest spiritually. And it's very taxing. That's why the Bible talks about, don't worry, cast all your cares on the Lord. Because it does affect you. If you're in worry, you're not in faith. If you're not at rest, you're not in faith. And so you've got to be at rest. I've got to be at rest. Number two, what does an athlete do? Well, like I said, they don't eat ice cream every day. They don't eat certain food. There are certain athletes that only eat certain kinds of food. They have a very strict diet. Why? Because their body is the machine, so to speak, that's going to cause them to get the prize. And so they have to be very careful what they put in it. And they're very meticulous about it, and whole things, you know, revolve around it, and they're very strong about it. But you have a diet too. Your spiritual diet. What are you eating? What are you eating? What are you eating? And it's not just sermons, you know. I go to church every Sunday morning, but what kind of word are you hearing? Jesus said, be careful what you hear and be careful how you hear it. In other words, you need a good spiritual diet. And you wouldn't eat, you know, a 30-day-old bread. And so you need fresh manna from heaven. You, what you eat, you know, you are what you eat. You've heard that, right? So that's true naturally, but it's even more true spiritually. You are what you eat. What you, the word of God, the diet of the word of God you get. And that's one of the things about this upcoming generation that I'm very concerned about. Because I don't know that you're getting the meat of the word. Because see, a baby lives by milk, but when it comes time, we've got to grow up and start having meat. And so you need the meat of the word of God. It's how I can tell that you can handle and understand righteousness, the Bible says. And that you can discern the difference between good and evil. So there could be a whole generation coming up in the church who can't decide what's good and what's evil because all they've ever gotten is milk. It is important what you hear. It is important what you hear. And so it's important what I feed you, but even more important of that is what you feed yourself every day. Or if you feed yourself every day. Amen? All right. Hallelujah. And then what else does a good athlete do? They train every day. Every day. One of my heroes was a man named Larry Bird. Anybody ever know who Larry Bird is? He's a basketball player. He went to my alma mater, Indiana State University. And he's the only thing famous that has ever come out of there. He got us all the way, one time only, to the national championship game where we lost to the blessed Julius, what's his name? No, who was that? Yeah, that one. See, I can't even think of his name. I've put it so far. And that nasty green Michigan State, whatever. Anyway. And so we had one shot. They couldn't give it to us. But one of the things about him was he was always good from the free throw line. I think it was because he thought shot what I heard 1,000 every morning. Shaq should have went to his school. And so anyway, but you gotta practice. You gotta practice when the coach is not there telling you to practice. You gotta speak the word when I'm not saying, repeat after me. This is an easy place to do it. And we're here for that. We want to do that. We're going to help you. We're going to keep doing it. But what you do when no one is watching is really the most important thing. So they train every day. They don't put bad stuff in their body as a general rule. No drugs, no alcohol. For you, you got to make sure that you get good doctrine. And the last one, really quick, they study the game. Good athletes, especially when you think about football and basketball, stuff like that, especially football, they study the game. They study strategies. They look for their enemy's weakness or what an enemy can't do. And I think the same thing spiritually. You and I need to know the strategies of the devil. We need to know how to win. He's looking for your weaknesses, so you might as well know that his are. When you speak the name of Jesus, it is all over. When you have a revelation of that name, When you have a revelation of faith, and when you have a revelation of authority, when you have a revelation of who you are in Christ, when you have those things in your life, so you have to, you know, so think of yourself, that's what the Lord's trying to get you to think. Think of yourself like a professional athlete at the top of the game. How did they get there? How did they get there? They didn't get there by luck. They didn't get there because someone wanted them to be there. They got there because of what they did when no one was watching. That's how they got there. And so when you think of all those things, you think about how an athlete, everything they do really is with their body. And how that is important. And so that reminded me of some things that I wrote about in my first book, No Longer Shackled, about winning the war over your body. Because that's where the devil tries to get you to sin. That's where he tries to defeat you. And so I picked up these words. And so if you're taking notes, I want you to write down this one word from every scripture that I'm about to give you. I'm about to give you quite a few of them. But these words stuck out to me. What do we do with our flesh? And what happens if we don't do anything with our flesh? What happens? So the first word is reign. Reign. R-E-I-G-N, reign. And Romans 6:12 says this, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that it should obey it in the lust thereof. So everyone say, I won't let sin reign in my body. I'm not going to let it. Verse 13, the word is yield. Yield. Like a sign, yield. Verse 13 says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Everyone say this, I won't yield my members to sin, but I will yield myself to God. Yield. Present. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. You present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God is. Everybody say, I will present my body, a living sacrifice unto God. The fourth word is suffered. First Peter chapter 4. Verses 1 and 2. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with this same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. So everyone say, I will. Suffer in the flesh. And I will cease from sin, and I will not live in the flesh with the lust of the flesh. You see, God's helping us, but these words, so there is some suffering. Do Christians suffer? Well, when you tell your flesh no, he's saying that's a form of suffering. You're not allowing it to do whatever it wants to do. Number five, I guess, is cleanse. Cleanse. The word is cleanse. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Verse number 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Everyone say this, I will cleanse myself from the filthiness of the flesh. Amen. Abstain. Abstain. These are strong words. Yeah, but if you're going to be a professional athlete in the realm of the spirit and you're going to get the prize, you're going to have to know these words. Because these are the things that athletes do in the realm of the spirit in order to make it. So abstain. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 11. And these are things that you never arrive at and quit. You keep doing them all the days of your life. And if you've had trouble, then you start again. You don't throw up your hands and say, well, I tried that and I couldn't do it. So what do? You ask for forgiveness. Holy, and how many of you know you don't have to do this on your own? Spirit of God, help me. And here I go again. Okay, so I came in, you know, if an athlete, you know, they came in, you know, their goal was to get a gold medal, but they got a bronze. Well, depending on the athlete and what sport it is, you can say, well, that's good enough. Or you can say, I'll see you in 4 years, and I'll be back. And a lot of them do that. But you, as a spiritual athlete, you don't really have any choice. You can't just quit. Because if you quit and throw up your hands, the devil's just going to run over you. You can't make a bargain with him. So I want you to get back in. So abstain. Abstain. Did we already look at abstain? Dearly, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul. Everyone say, I will abstain. Say, I will abstain. No, thank you. I will abstain. I will abstain. Amen. Mortify. Ooh, mortify. Romans 8:13. For if you live after the flesh, you'll die. But through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, and you will live. Everybody say, through the Spirit of God, through my Spirit, I will mortify the deeds of my body. And I will live, and I will finish. No provision. No provision. Romans 13. Romans 13 and 14. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Everybody say, I will. Make no provision for my flesh to fulfill the lust of my flesh. Not fulfill. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. I could quote this one, but I want to read it to you. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of your flesh. Say, I will walk in the Spirit, and I will not fulfill the lust of my flesh. How do you know when you're not training properly that you're yielding to the lust of your flesh? Have we done it? We've all done it. Again, just because you've done it, or maybe you're currently doing it, you don't throw in the towel. You don't give up. You put these things in, you look at them, and that's why I think the Lord gave them to me in one word. He had me pull out one word. You need to reign. Reign over sin. You need to yield, not to your flesh, but to God. You need to present your body. How do you win? Present your body. A living sacrifice. You've heard what Pastor Rhonda says. A living sacrifice. The only problem with it is it wants to get off the altar. So you got to keep presenting it. I suffered. It's going to maybe take some, you know, a pound of flesh off of me, but I'm going to suffer, and I'm not going to yield. I'm going to cleanse. I'm going to abstain. I'm going to mortify. I'm going to allow no provision for the flesh, and I will not fulfill the lust of my flesh. How am I going to do that? By walking in the Spirit. Listen. In the realm of the Spirit, we all start at the same place. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that He was raised from the dead. And I receive Him as Savior, and I make Him the Lord of my life. What is that? That's the starting line. You're born again. Some of you in this room, if you've never even started the race, you've got to start. And that is how you start. And maybe in the marathon of life, some of you got out, said, I can't do this anymore. But see, the great thing about this marathon is you can get back in and you can still win. You can still win the prize. But that's more up to you than it is up to God. And so it's important to understand that we all start this race. But who finishes and who finishes strong is really not God's determination, it's your determination. And really what's going to happen is what you do and take when you come to church and what you receive and when you begin to put that in your own life. Listen, I don't know if anyone, myself, anyone in this room, that you haven't had struggles. Because we've all got a flesh. I look at y'all and you all look like you have the same kind of flesh as I do. And so, you know, some a little more, some a little less, but we all got flesh. And so that means and then how many of you know, I know the devil's still here, right? And so I know he's tempting your flesh. And if you've ever yielded, you can quit and you can give up. But what you'll find is then you're unfulfilled, you're disappointed. But the great thing is, and I don't know, I think the Holy Ghost has orchestrated this today, starting with when Jim was talking to you. Somebody in the room or a number of somebody's, you got to let it go. You got to let the past go, because you can't go forward and win the prize looking behind. Jesus said, no man is fit for the kingdom of God looking back. In other words, your faith won't work, but maybe you do have trouble with your body. Maybe you have trouble with sin. Maybe you're having trouble with the lust of your flesh. But if you'll take every one of these one words and make a commitment, just take one a day or two a day, one in the morning, one at night, and say, I'm not going to let sin reign in my life today. I'm going to mortify my body today. Whatever you got to do to get those in you, and the Holy Ghost will help you. You don't have to do this on your own. But because you can't do this on your own. But He wants you to win. You're like the professional athlete, and if you can see yourself, I'm going to finish my race. I'm going to finish my race, and I'm going to finish it with joy. And I'm going to stand before the Lord, and I'm going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And I'm going to take the crown that He gave me, and I'm going to put it at His feet. Amen. How do you get there? Just live it every day. Listen. Everybody always wants this spectacular, over-the-top life and even experiences with God. And I really appreciate those things. I've had them in my life. But what I've found, it's the daily grind, if you will. It's the daily doing it. It's the daily when nobody's watching. Because what you do in private will eventually show up in public. You can't keep doing what you want to and let your flesh win and finish. And I know that just as well as any of you in the room. And the devil works on me like he works on you. And what we got to do? We got to keep doing it. Keep doing it. Keep doing it.
We hope you were inspired by today's message. If you want to hear more from the Word of God, head over to cwol.org, check us out on YouTube or any social platform under @CWallMadison. We believe God is working within you, and we want you to know Him so you too can make Him known.